That mic is just this is a little. This is mini binder. Okay. So this is like team needs binder, Mike. Right here. Yeah, this is baby binder.
Are we on the air?
Already,
yeah, we're on the air.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah.
This is cool.
Oh, we came back early in anticipation.
Absolutely. Look at all that.
I know you're such a big fan of Twitter, Mr. Mayock. Can I take a picture of these notes and put it on Twitter?
No.
Would that be akin to stealing plays?
You and I would never talk again.
Well, we definitely can't have that. Welcome, Mr. Mayock. Welcome to the combine.
Happy to be here.
Got all this NFL Network coverage that you have been doing. And will do, certainly over the weekend. What's the importance of the drills to you with this process?
Are we supposed to stand? Is that the
deal? Yeah, we're trying to stay warm by these doors. I think that's a lot
When you arrive, we stand and eventually bow.
You know what?
Seriously, good to see you.
It's good to be here. You guys have always been good to me. And the key, I think, to this whole thing is treating it as a cross-check.
Yeah.
85% of the grade should be off tape. Mm-hmm. And you come here, and you've heard me say it before, fast guys run fast, slow guys run slow. It's only a story when the opposite happens.
Right. Yeah.
So if Kevin White from West Virginia, my number one wideout, who I think is like a 4.50 guy on tape, if he runs 4.67, I got a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I drop him off my list yet, but I got to go back and watch that tape. If a slow guy runs fast, it's the same thing. So at the end of the day, Paul, I think the drills are important to either confirm, hopefully, what you've seen on tape, or to kind of generate a red flag that says you got to go back and do some more work.
Are there specific to, like, speeds? Are there, and this is really true for any of the drills, at every position, is there sort of a breaking point where you're like, oh, that, I got a problem? You know, the running back that, you know, logs a, whatever, you know, 4.7. There's a breaking point on each position where you go, now I'm in trouble territory.
Not necessarily a breaking point. You can ask Anquan Boldin, who ran, 4.72 here?
Right.
You know, and every year there's a guy that runs slow, but he's still a great football player.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Fitzgerald trained his tail off, and if I remember correctly, he didn't run it. He ran at his pro day. He ran, I think, in the low 4.5s, 4.55, somewhere around there. You know, so there's not necessarily just a breaking point.
Yeah.
But, and I'll give you another example. I mean, with the wide receivers getting bigger in the NFL, Kelvin Benjamin ran 4.61 last year, okay?
Yeah.
And he said, I'm done. At his pro day, he didn't even try to better it. He said, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because
that's
I'm
who I am.
I'm 6'5", 240, with a wingspan of a condor, and that's fine. And he was right. It was fine.
It turned out just fine for him.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Viking fans that are hoping that Kevin White falls to 11, but increasingly, it sounds like, you know, yourself, you have your number one wide receiver right now. I know, having done this with you for years, it's way too early. Nothing's set in stone right now, because I know that we're very early in the process.
Yes.
It doesn't sound realistic that he might be there at 11 for the Vikings then.
Again, he could run 4.67.
Yeah. You almost hope he does.
You'll be going, well, Mike, can I get him in the third round?
That's right.
But there are three wideouts that everybody thinks are the top three, and everybody's got a different order. I mean, the kid from Alabama, you know, Amari Cooper, is special. He's really good. You know, the kid from Louisville, he's a big, strong-handed, tough guy, catches the ball great. So what order they go in, I don't know, and it's going to start to get figured out this weekend a little bit with how they run. You guys might sit back and say, what about Brandon Scherff at 11?
Yeah,
we've talked a lot about it.
Have you?
Depending on what happens with Adrian Peterson, you know, I'm not saying that getting a mauling type guard who gives you position flexibility to take some heat off the left tackle who needs to play better, and I think everybody can agree with that. Not saying that you don't need something like that, that Peterson covers all the proverbial warts, and I do believe Adrian will be on the team next year. But, I mean, in following a lot of stuff you've said and then reading up on him online, Brandon Scherff seems like a perfect fit for the Vikings.
And if you compare him to a Zach Martin a year ago.
Yeah.
And I said Zach Martin could start at all five positions on an NFL team.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way about Scherff.
Look what he did for Dallas, right?
And Scherff just a little bit longer and a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Zach was 6.042, 6'4 and 2/8, and I think Scherff was like 6'4.5.
Yeah.
And about 8 pounds different. But they're the same type of guy. And if you get plug and play Pro Bowl type capability out of any position, we all get hung up on what guy's available and what. Let's get the sexy guy, the wide out.
Yeah.
I just want good football players. Go draft a bunch of good football players, and Mike Zimmer will take care of the rest.
Yeah.
We certainly hope that's the case.
Does it matter to you if the quarterbacks throw here? I mean, every single year, it's will this guy throw, will this guy not throw? Yeah. Now it's Jameis Winston. What does it matter to you if the quarterbacks throw here?
Only from one perspective, okay? And they only throw about 20 balls, right? They're not going to change anybody's mind. Mm. But here's what I will tell you is 4 or 5 years ago, Cam Newton sprayed it all over the place. I'm not sure he completed one.
Right. Wow.
Nobody really cared because he had the guts to step up and throw, and he ripped it. Okay? And all the coaches and scouts know that if you don't complete it, the wide receiver might not have run the route correctly. You've never seen the guy in your life.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Have the guts to step up and rip it. And that's what these guys want to see. See how the ball comes out of your hand, and then you go do it again at your pro day.
Mike Mayock, NFL Network from the Combine.
At this time last year, we were talking about Teddy Bridgewater, maybe as the first player taken in the whole draft. Ends up falling all the way to 32, and as it turns out, had arguably the best season of any of the rookie quarterbacks. Can you give us a little illumination on what is it that went wrong for him from really this point to the draft in those 2 months that sent him from 1 to 32?
Kid in Oakland played pretty good, and he even went after Bridgewater.
Yeah.
I'd make that argument. He had a heck of a year. Kid in Jacksonville is a pretty good young quarterback.
Yep.
To answer your question, I had more trouble with Bridgewater than just about anybody I ever evaluated in my life. And that's because I'm so used to going to the pro days where all the top quarterbacks just rip it, bang, 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 and it's another check in the box, bang, pro day, just what I expected. It was the first time a top-level quarterback came in and I thought had a really bad pro day on every level.
Wow.
And I didn't know what to do with it.
Sure.
I really didn't. I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
I talked to a lot of guys around the league. Am I overreacting? A lot of teams felt the same way. If the kid got nervous on pro day, what's going to happen on week one in the NFL? Right? Was it the gloves? Not the gloves. What was the whole deal? So there was so much uncertainty. I didn't even know what to do with them. I wanted to trust my gut on the tape, but I thought the pro day was so bad that I struggled. And at the end of the day, the kid looks like he's going to be the real deal, and you learn another lesson. You know, and I'll tell you the one guy that it didn't bother, and I was standing next to him at Bridgewater's workout, and I looked to Norv Turner when it was over, and I said, Norv, that was, oh, my God, that was bad. He's like, oh, Mike, just minor issues, all correctable.
And
Norv not flustered at all.
Norv did a wonderful job with him last year. Teddy was thrown into a tough spot. Castle goes down. He was getting hit a lot.
Yep.
And he wasn't leading receivers. His anticipatory skills left a lot to be desired. And the thing I liked most about Teddy last year, Mike, is everything he faced, holding the ball too long, everything, he kept working through it. You know, and that gives us some good hope.
I really like the kid, and I did about four of his games toward the end of the season where I watched every throw he made. The only issue I had, and I thought it was really good, especially for a rookie, was that his bad throws were really bad. I think maybe it was Detroit. He made a couple bad throws.
Yeah, threw one right to Glover Quinn. It was terrible.
A couple, like once or twice a game, a ball comes out of your hand, his hand, and you go, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
However, I mean, wow, he just was really impressive.
Do you have Tampa on a quarterback? The majority of people do. But and I guess that would the next question would be, how high are you on the obvious two if you are to make that move at one?
My philosophy on quarterbacks is there's probably only 10 or 12 of them in the league that are, quote, franchise quarterbacks. You got to have 32 starters, but only 10 or 12 of them, you'd bang the table and say, that guy can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So if you don't have one of them, it behooves you to do your homework on somebody you might think could become one.
Yep.
Right? So the two top guys in the draft have completely different issues. I mean, Jameis Winston, to me, I can see all the anticipation, the timing, the throws you want to see on tape from an NFL offense, you can see.
Yeah.
I also see horrible interceptions. But in the second half, he magically goes into that in the locker room and puts Superman on, and he comes out with the game on the line and plays at a level.
Yeah.
I hate the off-the-field stuff, and I haven't even factored it into my stuff yet. But you better if you're Tampa or Tennessee or the Jets or anybody right down the line, right?
Yep.
I learned a lesson with Johnny Manziel a year ago, you know, and the off-the-field stuff matters, especially at that position. And then the other kid's a different evaluation. Love everything about Mariota. The only thing I don't like is that he's not a project, but he's a projection because it's a completely different offense.
Mm-hmm.
So he's winning games at Oregon because his legs. First read's not there, he takes off. Third and four, he picks up nine, move the chains, and away we go.
Yeah.
There's nothing, you can't ding the kid because of that. His job is to win games.
No, but that doesn't necessarily translate to the NFL.
And his comp is probably Colin Kaepernick. You know, and Kaepernick has played pretty well. They're similar. I think Mariota throws the ball better coming out of college than Kaepernick did. But it's an interesting comparison, but it's still a projection. He's never been asked to do this whole body of work. How will he react?
We have five more minutes, Max, with Mike Mayock. Let's go rapid fire. It's interesting you put Shaq Thompson in at a safety. And, of course, I respect your opinion when he played as much linebacker as he did at Washington. And as I said to Mike Zimmer earlier in the show, Mike, when I see Shaq Thompson or read about Shaq Thompson, I think Mike Zimmer, a guy who could use him in certain situations at safety, maybe have him be a nickel linebacker.
Yeah.
Shaq Thompson reminds me of Cam Chancellor. Does he remind you of Cam?
We're having a similar conversation. I think his highest and best use is strong safety in the base package, like a Cam Chancellor, and dime linebacker in your sub package, which is what Deion Buchanan did last year for Arizona and did it really well.
Right.
And a similar skill set. So from my perspective, I love the kid at safety in your base, dime linebacker, so it's third and four, and Peyton Manning or whomever can't sit there and go, oh, I'm going to run the ball against a small nickel or a small dime. So I love the fact that the kid can be your safety and base and your dime and sub.
3 minutes go.
Have you established a preference between the two running backs that seem to be highest regarded, Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon?
At most positions, if it's a toss-up, the bigger guy wins in the NFL, you know. However, the bigger guy in this case has got an ACL.
Yeah.
So I've got Gordon number one right now. I think they're both first-round picks, even though the running back position has, quote, been devalued.
Yeah.
To me, they're overwhelmingly first-round picks. The question is the medical on Gurley.
Dante Fowler from Florida seems perfect for the Bears at 7. That's my guess. And can he play in a 4-3?
I think he can play anywhere. My comp on him, I'll give you two guys. Khalil Mack.
Yep.
Okay, who's playing in a 4-3 in a base package as a linebacker and then kicks down in sub.
Yep.
And Justin Houston, who's a 3-4 outside linebacker and a third-round pick. But that body type that he has is similar to those guys, and his explosion off the edge is similar. And I like him because he's 15 pounds heavier than Shane Ray and
Gregory
and those guys.
Yeah.
A couple of Gophers seem to be headed for an NFL draft spot, and I don't know if you've had a chance to look into either of them, but Max Williams and David Cobb, do you have any thoughts on those two guys?
Yeah, Max Williams, the number one tight end in the draft. I think he reminds me of a little bit is Kyle Rudolph.
Hmm.
Okay, he's got a great throwing radius.
Yep.
He's more athletic than he is twitchy. Hmm. He catches everything. He's a red zone guy. As a blocker, he's smart enough and tough enough to get in your way and use some leverage. But he reminds me of that, and I think he could sneak into the first, but I see him as the number one tight end in the draft in the second round. Cobb, I think, is a really good football player. He's just solid. You know, I think Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, I think that kind of back is just a tough, solid guy. He'll pick the right hole. He'll wear a defense down. He's a three-down back.
Do you like Brett Perryman's kid from Central Florida?
I love him. And he's the kind of guy, the knock on him is drops, too many drops. But I watched his tape, and I watched every target on the year. And he had some simple drops, but he made the hard catches.
Yeah.
He's got beautiful hands. He just has some concentration lapses. And if he runs well this weekend, he's a height, weight, speed guy that could push his way into the first round.
Last one, any golden domers that you really like in the draft, given you do Notre Dame football?
Yeah, it's not – I mean – they had a bunch of guys come out as underclassmen a year ago, so not as many this year. Koyak, the tight end, is an interesting guy. And there's a guy that should be at the combine that wasn't invited, Cody Riggs, the nickel. I think Cody Riggs can play in the NFL, and I'm astounded that he wasn't invited.
Nobody better. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, fellas.
Yeah,
thanks,
we'll talk to you soon,
great
and we'll see you next year.
Got it.
Mike Mayock, NFL Network. Final segment from the Combine will feature Peter King from Sports Illustrated. That's next. PA in charge, thanks to Whiting Clinic, LASIK, and Eye Care. Don't leave. You're